Good afternoon. So today we're going to continue with talking about virtual memory with our last topic, which I briefly gave our motivation for last time, of which we'll call TLBs, which is caching page tables. And if you remember, our problem was that we're talking about having these complicated page tables, like a four-level page table on a modern x86 64-bit processor. And even if we imagine the L1 cache is relatively fast, taking like 2 cycles in access, that makes every single memory access pretty slow. And that's just not acceptable if you want to run programs, especially since, if you remember what a memory access is, every instruction does one because we need to fetch it. So this means that our minimum latency for running an instruction, if we didn't have cache, would mean we'd have to access the L1 cache one time to get the first level page table for where the instruction is, one time to get the second, and so on. That would not be acceptable. And our key observation is that when we're accessing the page table, we have really, really, really good temporal locality. That typically we have lots of different regions of memory, so they're far apart, so the spatial locality actually isn't that great. But within each of these regions, we have like 1 or 2 pages we're accessing. Like if you think about your program using the stack, you have some local variables on the stack. Does that fit in 4 kilobytes? Most of the time, yes. So it's in the same page, most likely, or maybe 2 pages. So based on this observation, and the fact that pages are pretty big, so they hold lots of stuff we're working on, we think typical programs have excellent locality in their page table entries. This isn't guaranteed. You can write programs which have pretty poor locality in their page table entries. In fact, if you think about things where we needed cache blocking, you have, just like you had problems with the cache before you do cache blocking, you might have problems with the TLB before you do cache blocking, for the same reason, that you're accessing things all over memory. So there are lots of different page table entries. But for typical programs, because we have this great locality, we need a very, very, very tiny number of page table entries stored to make it go fast. So we're going to make a cache which stores a very small number of page table entries. And this is going to look very, very similar to our L1 cache. But we're going to swap some things. So previously, we thought of caches. We took a physical memory address. We put that in the cache. We get out some bytes that are stored there. Here, since this is caching page table entries, we need to have the equivalent to an address for a page table entry, and that's the virtual page number the page table entry is for. And instead of having bytes from memory, we're going to have the actual page table entries stored in the cache. You might wonder, well, we had multi-level page tables, we had different page table entries, so like we accessed 4 different page table entries for everything, which ones are we storing? We're only going to store the last level ones. Those are the ones we actually care about for performing our memory access. They have the physical page number where the actual data is. And we're not going to care about the other ones because we assume that most of the time we're not accessing them. Some processors do cache those higher level page table entries, but not in the TLB. But we cache elsewhere if they're cached. So we have our last level page table entries indexed by the virtual page number, which is what we care about to get at them. We're going to make some other different choices. So there's not much spatial locality in the page table. Just because our pages are so big, typically we're accessing maybe the page next to it, but typically we don't have that much spatial locality in them, unlike in caches where, we're accessing like arrays and things that might span even multiple cache blocks commonly. It's not very common for us to be accessing something that spans multiple pages a lot. So we're not going to benefit much from storing multiple page table entries together. And the ubiquitous choice in every platform I'm aware of is that they store 1 page table entry as their block. So blocks in this cache are a single page table entry. There's nothing conceptually stopping you from putting multiple page table entries together, but no one's that I know of has done it. And probably the thought is, if you think that you need to do that, a better thing to do is to make your pages bigger. Because, you know, if you're assuming you're accessing that block of data together, why not just have one page table entry for it anyways? And save some space in your page tables. And, you know, if you need to you assume that you probably want to allocate it all together, if it's always accessed together, enough to matter. So basically, every entry is a block in this cache. And we're not going to have very many active page table entries at a time. As I said, we assume typical programs, we're going to have like sort of tens of active page table entries in a single method, for example. So these caches are typically going to be order tens of entries, maybe small hundreds. So the TLB is very small, and this is helpful because it makes it faster. So it's not going to take as long to access the TLB as the L1 cache, which is good. And it also lets us have very highly associated designs without having much downside because it's so small. And that's something we want to do because our TLB entries are scattered all around memory and we might have conflict misses by accident just because the addresses aren't as related as when we're thinking about, say, the L1 cache. So we're more likely to have conflicts, so we'll have a higher associativity to deal with that. So this is the entity we're adding, and we need to fit it into the hierarchy we had before. And previously, what we did is we took an address from our program, we sent it to this memory management unit, which communicated back and forth with the L1 cache, and then up to memory to read the page table entries, and eventually figure out the actual physical address and read that on behalf of the process. So the change we're going to make is we're going to take an address from the program. We're still going to send it to that MMU, memory management unit, that knows how to read the page tables. But it's going to be talking to this TLB. And you can see probably why the name is look-aside buffer. Like, probably they were thinking of this sort of picture. But the MMU is going to first ask the TLB, hey, I have this virtual page number. Do you have the page for me or not? And if they don't, it's going to do its normal full page table look. It's going to take get the first level page table entry, then the second, then the first, all the way to the last. And then it's going to take that last one, it's going to actually use it to do the address translation, and it's going to send it to the TLB, so hopefully next time when it asks, it's going to say, yep, got it. So it's going to take, the MMU is going to take this big shortcut by using the TLB, and it's also responsible for filling in the TLB because it knows how to do what's sometimes called the page table walk, how to go from one page table entry to the next in a multi-level page table structure. So our ideal picture is that for any memory access, we'll split up our virtual address into a virtual page number and a page offset. In this case, I'm showing a single level page table just to keep this diagram uncluttered. But we just do the same thing for our multi-level access. We just take the whole virtual page number, not just the first part. And we'll send that to the TLB. And when things work right, the TLB is going to give us a page table entry. It's going to do exactly what accessing memory in the last level page table to get the page table entry would get us. And we'll just use that result and we'll do all the normal processing we do on it. So there's going to be permission bits in the page table entry. We'll have to look at those permission bits and say, are you trying to write something you're not supposed to write? And handle that there. And we're also, of course, going to have our physical page number. So we're going to take our physical page number and use that to generate our physical address. So this is the good case. This is the case where we have a TLB hit. And we like this to be what happens like 99.99% of the time or something like that. Our hope is that we have such good locality that this almost always happens because the other case is going to be slow. So when we don't have a TLB hit, we're going to access the TLB. It's going to say, nope, sorry, don't have that virtual page number. You didn't give it to me earlier, or you gave it to me earlier, and I didn't have room for it. So we're going to do our normal page table lookup. In this case, I'm showing the single level page table lookup, but we do the whole multi-level procedure if we had a multi-level page table. So we're going to take our virtual address, divide it up into each part, look up in each page table to get the page table entry from cache or memory, read that in, process it. And when we finally get our last level page table entry, we're going to use that. And we're going to, you know, do our normal thing of checking the permission bits, checking the valid bits, and finally finishing our translation. So we're going to get a physical address out by taking the physical page number from that page, combining it with the page offset we started with. We're also going to do this extra step of telling the TLB, hey, that thing you didn't have, here it is, why don't you keep it? And if it's a valid page table entry, we're going to store it. Generally, the TLB won't store page table entries that are marked invalid, because our assumption is we're going to have to trigger a page fault anyways. We don't care about making that fast. So, but any valid page table entry we find, we send to the TLB and it's going to store for us. So next time, we go through the fast case. So this means that when we do a TLB access and we get a hit, it gives us everything we need to actually get the physical memory address. And we don't get a hit, we have to do something else. Maybe we find an entry in the page table, which is valid. Maybe we have to trigger a page fault and ask the OS what to do. But, you know, it's the more uncommon, more expensive case that we'll handle differently. But our common case, we'll access the TLB, it will be a hit, and we'll know the physical address that the program's trying to access. We might need to trigger a fault if it's like read-only, but we know how to keep going at least. So as I said, the TLB essentially looks like our L1 cache, except we've replaced our address input with a page number input, and instead of storing bytes for memory, we're storing page table entries. And it's going to be organized very much like a physical cache. So here I'm showing you a two-way set associative TLB. And it has, in this case, 8 sets. I can tell it has 8 sets because we have 3 index bits. So there must be 8 sets. And just like in our L1 cache, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get our index. In this case, our index comes from the virtual page number because that's what we're looking up. Since every block in this cache is one virtual page number's data, we don't have any offset bits. So the first thing in our page number, lower bits, are the index into the TLB. So we take those index bits, in this case there's 3, and use that to look up a set in our TLB. And based on that set, we'll get the copies of the up to 2 page table entries that are stored in that set. And just like when we access the L1 cache, we need to figure out which of any of these are for the thing we were trying to look up, the virtual page number we were trying to look up. And, you know, we know which of them are valid, but that doesn't tell us if there are any of them are for that same virtual page number. They could be for another which happens to have the same index bits. So in order to figure that out, we're going to store a tag. And the tag is just going to be the rest of the virtual page number we didn't use. Just like with a cache, when we look up an address, the tag is the rest of the address we didn't use. Here it's the rest of the virtual page number, but it's the same concept. Once we get the tag, we're going to compare it to the one which came from the virtual page number we got in and see which of the 2 entries, if any, has our data. And based on that, we're going to be able to get our page table entry out. So, questions on anything going on in this picture? Okay. So this is our basic operation, and so it's almost exactly the same as an L1 cache. It's just, you know, we replaced addresses and replaced bytes in memory. Okay, so given that we know that, let's go through some examples of how figuring out how real KVMs work. So my desktop, I have 4 kilobyte pages, so 2 to the 12 bytes in every page, and a 48-bit virtual address. And my desktop has, it has separate TLBs for instructions and data, and it actually has an L1 and L2 TLB for each of, for L1 TLB is for instruction and data, and a combined L2 TLB, because they felt that they didn't want to even do the page table lookup in the L1 MIST, so they have a second one. And the L1 data TLB is 64 entries, really small compared to the caches we've seen, and it's four ways. So given that, and given that I told you what addresses look like, if I have an address, so first of all, how big are the TLB index bits and the TLB tag bits? How many bits are they, and where are they in an address, in a virtual address? If I wrote one down, how would you find them? So anyone want to volunteer a first thing we should do to figure this out? I've drawn as the starting point the layout of an address. We can think of it as being split up into the VPN and the page offset, or the TLB tag, TLB index, which exactly are just parts of the VPN and the page offset. Yeah. How did you get 12 bits? Yeah, so since we know there are 2 to 12 byte pages, that means that we need 12 bits to determine which byte we're referring to. So that's the size of our page offset. So we know that the index starts at bit 12. And the VPN also starts at bit 12. So this gives us the VPN immediately. We know the VPN is all the 36 remaining bits of the address, because it's 48 bits in total. So any ideas on how do we figure out index bits? So you know that it should be the same procedure you'd use for a cache, basically. Thinking of, it's the same concept. So when we're thinking about index bits in a cache, what do we want to know how many there are? Yeah.
So we want to know how many sets in a cache. So in this case, since there's 64 entries, we have 8-bit index.
Okay, so you want to know how many sets. That's exactly right. So what's a set is one of those rows. And 64 entries means 64 total blocks. Because we said an entry is a block. But each row contains four ways, so it contains four blocks. So yeah, you're right, we want the number of sets. So we take that, we need 64, but we divide by four because there's four in each set, four entries in a set. So we take 64, well, that is totally readable. 64 divided by four equals 16 sets with four entries, which it, you know, approximately blocks a set. So we have 16 sets, and 16 sets means we need four bits to know which set we're referring to. So we're going to have four set index, four TLB index bits. And they're going to be the lower bits of the VPN because our assumption is that if two pages are related, they're going to differ in those bits, and we want to make sure we can store pages which are next to, page table entries which are for pages which are next to each other in the TLB at the same time. Just like we want to make sure we can store bytes in memory that are next to each other in the same time in a cache. And everything left over is the tag. So our remaining 32 bits here are our TLB tags. So any questions about what I did here? Okay, so in that case, so as I said, my desktop has an L2 TLB. So instead of doing the page table lookup when there's a miss in the L1 TLB, the processor has a second, considerably larger TLB because that's too slow. So the L2 TLB on my processor is 1,536 entries, which is 3 × 2⁹, and 12 ways. So very associative. So what does that mean that splits up the addresses? So anyone have, so who's still working? Okay, someone, can someone volunteer an answer to any part of this? So I did, yeah.
So you have 7 extras and 29 entries.
So you say 7 and 29. And how did you get, say, 7?
You divide 3 times 2 to the power of 9, divided by 3 times 2 to the power of 2, which is
27. Okay, so 3 times 2 to the 9 divided by 12 gave us 2 to the 7. So that's the, so what number is that?
This is the total number of sets that you have, yeah. So you end up having 7 entries per set.
Yeah, so that's the number of sets in the TLB. So we computed the number of sets in the TLB by saying it's 12 ways, 1,500 entries in total divided by 12, that's how you get the number of sets. So we had 2 to the 7 sets, so we need 7 bits to determine which of those 2 to the 7 sets we're going to use for a virtual page number. And the rest are the tag bits. And we're splitting up the virtual page number, which is why these should add up to 36. Because we don't use the page offset, we just can ignore that for the entire TLB access. We're going to use that later on when we get a physical page number out of the TLB. Any questions on this procedure? So this is how we split up addresses for the TLB. And note that this coexists with our multi-level page table stuff. So we're going to end up, we're going to have our address, and we're going to take off a page offset. And we're going to get a VPN. And we're going to use that VPN to look up something in the TLB. So we're going to have a TLB index and a TLB tag. We're also going to use that address to look up things in our multi-level page tables. So we're going to have a VPN part 1 and a VPN part 2 when we're doing that. And they don't need to coincide because they're an independent lookup. We do the TLB lookup. If it works, we don't care how many levels are in the page table. And if it doesn't work, we don't care what we're using to index the TLB. It didn't hit anyways. So given that, I've given you the layout for a hypothetical processor. So tell me how you think you'd split up this address to get all those pieces I drew. And to help, there's the binary. Though you can really just figure out like it's bits X through I. It's probably easier to write down. You're allowed to talk and compare answers. You don't have to. I'll give you some minutes to work. Who's still working? Okay. Not too many people. So I'll go with the first step. So the first step I have here is I want to find out the page offset. If we look at how these addresses are divided, that's part of every time we're dividing it up. So I want to figure out what that is, and I need to look at the page size. We have, in this case, 2 to the 13 byte pages, which means we need 13 bits to determine the page offset. We have 13 bits at the end that tell us where in a page we are. The rest of the address is going to be our virtual page number. And we're going to have these two different ways. We're going to split up that virtual page number into two pieces. One is for the TLB to figure out which of its sets we're using. And the other is for multi-level page tables to figure out what part of the address we use for the first level. To figure out which of the, in this case, it says 256 entries in our first level table we want to look at. So I'll start with, since it's not what we did before, the two-level page table. So if we have a TLB miss, we need to do an actual page table lookup. We're going to first look up in our first level page table. And this problem, I just said, it's 256 entries in the first table. So that means that the table is 1 kilobyte, which you could figure out because there's 4 byte entries, but we don't actually need to know the entry size. And so we need to know which of those 256 entries. We need 8 bits to do that, since 256 is 2 to the 8. So we're going to take our first 8 bits from our VPN, and that's how we're going to figure out which of those 256 entries we actually want. And that's going to be the first 8 bits of the address, which is also the first 8 bits of the virtual page number of the address. And hopefully, since we have a two-level page table, all the remaining bits are what we need to access the second level. If not, we have a problem, because we better use all the bits to access the page tables. And it happens that we need 11 more bits in the VPN, and that's exactly what 2048 is true to the 11th, so that's exactly the number it looks like we are going to be able to access in the second level table. So that's how we split it up for our multi-level page table solution, what we did last time. But we're only going to do that multi-level page table lookup if the TLB lookup fails first. And for the TLB lookup, we're going to split it up in a different way, and we have to figure out, again, what the index bits are. So we're going to send the VPN. So this is the part which is used by TLB and the page table lookup. And we're going to figure out which part of that is our TLB index. And just like in a cache, this is a set index, so we just need to know how many sets are there, and it's the number of bits we need to identify that set. So we have 384 entries. For entries, and we're going to divide by 3, which is the number of entries per set. And that's going to give us 128, which is 2 to the 7th. So we're going to have 7 bits for our TLB index. And that's going to be the last 7 bits of the virtual page number, just like the index comes after the tag in normal caches. And everything left over is going to be our TLB tag. We're going to need to check that when we get something out of the TLB to see, is this really the thing I asked for? Or is it something else you have randomly stored that happens to have something in common with my virtual page number? Yes.
So does the size of the patient-patient entry ever matter? It's like,
so here, does the size of the patient-patient entry matter? No. So it's going to matter in practice when we need to figure out, when I'm using that 8-bit part of the VPN and actually need to construct a physical address to access. But we didn't ask about that. So it doesn't matter here. And well, when I'm asking questions on exams, I'll like give you extra information. And in the real world, of course, you pick up a processor manual, they'll tell you how big the page table entries are even when it doesn't matter. Any other questions about this procedure? Everyone ready to do this on, say, an exam? Okay. So that's how TLBs use the address. And as far as what TLBs work, it's the same as caches. This is like basically the same as caches. So here, let's say this is my TLB. So instead of it stores page table entries, and let's say I have 64 byte pages. So the 64 byte pages, how big is my page offset? Someone's saying 6, I think, which is, so 2 to the 64 is 2 to the 6. That's our page offset. So everything else is the virtual page number. And the TOB only sees the virtual page number. So only that part in red there is what matters as far as the TLB is concerned. Everything else we use after the TLB is done. And if we think about what this access pattern does, we're going to first begin to look at how do we divide up these virtual page numbers. So we're going to divide it up, just like in a cache, into an index and a tag. We don't have an offset because, as I said, each block in the TLB represents one page, so we use the whole virtual page number for the index attack. And if we start off like this, we're gonna do our first lookup, we're gonna look for index 0, we're gonna find out, nope, nothing there, and we're gonna have a miss, and we're gonna store the value. And just like with a normal associative cache, we're gonna have a replacement policy, and we might need to store some extra data to implement that. And it's going to work exactly the same as in a normal cache. We'll have all the same sort of options as far as what replacement policies we could use, but that's going to be a choice we as a TLB implementer will have to make. So in this case, the second access is to the same set, but it doesn't match this tag, so it's going to be a miss. And it's going, since we accessed it, we're going to change our LRU information for a replacement policy. Then this third access, it's for the same page, same virtual page number as the first access, so it's a hit. And the third access for the same virtual page number as the second access, sorry, the fourth access for the same as the second, so it's also a hit. And it just changes the LRU information. And here we have an access to last set, gets filled in. Just the same procedure as a normal cache. We look in the set, is it empty? Is it valid? If it's not, do some replacement. And here, we have another access to index 0. Here, we're going to look, say, valid, yep, valid, yep. Check the tag. Does the tag match? Not for the first one, not for the second one. So it's a miss, and this is going to trigger a replacement. And just like in a normal cache, we need to decide which of these two entries in the set to replace. And we're going to use our replacement policy to do that. In this case, we'll replace the least recently used, which is way zero, the year. So you can simulate sort of what TLBs do the same way you simulate what caches do. They just only care about the virtual page number, and they don't store like the whole page there. They're storing a page table entry that says where the page is, and also has like its permission bits and things like that. So any questions on what goes on here before I move on? So we've talked about caching page table entries, and there's some things that are going to be different about how we manage TLBs than normal caches. And one big thing is what happens when page tables change. So when the thing where it's being cached change. In a normal data cache, everything goes through the cache. So if we're writing something, the cache sees it and changes it. But this is not how TLBs work. So for example, let's start with the simplest and most obvious problem. What happens when I switch between one program and another, and I change the page table base register? So the OS is going to do this every time we have a timer interrupt and we decide to stop running your infinite loop and start running mine. And we're going to change that page table base register. And now at this point, the TLB has a whole bunch of hashed page table entries, and they refer to something for your program, not mine. So what should happen to prevent this from, you know, having a you read from my stack or vice versa? What's the simplest thing we can do to fix this? Not asking for a fast or intelligent solution, just a simplest possible solution. And yeah, some that either the hardware or the OS could do. Sorry, no. Yeah.
Basically, you're just going to switch what's in the TLB.
Okay. So what?
Switch it with the other processes, like information.
Okay. So you want to switch what's in the TLB. So you're going to say, so what's your proposal? Then just to like load the same page table entry.
It's a context switch. All that's stored in the operating system's internal memory, right? So you can just take all that.
Okay. So your idea is let's just dump the TLB out to the OS and dump it back in. And that would be a valid strategy. That's not actually what processors do. They do something simpler than that. And the key observation they make is that it's correct to get rid of everything in the TLB. It's slow, but it's correct. So that's what they do. So the simplest option and the most common option is they just set all the valid bits to zero. Yes, this means that we have a whole bunch of things we cache, which we're gonna forget, but at least we're not going to read from the wrong page table. They could indeed like copy and save it back and forth, and that might be faster, but I don't know of any real processors which do that. So that's the most common option. So we just invalidate all the page table entries, of the TLB entries, and require that the next time we try to access that same virtual page number, we go back and check the page table again. And typically, this would be a side effect of the change page table base register instruction. So that instruction, in addition to changing the page table base register, will set all the valid bits in the TLB to zero. That's typically what happens on x86. So there's a second option, which is a bit smarter, that some processors implement, including modern x86 as an option that's not used very much. Which is that you can put a process ID in the TLB entries. And the way this would work is that the operating system sets a special register saying, here's the current process ID, and the TLB entries contain the TLB tag and that process ID value. And whenever we access the TLB, we compare not only the TLB tag, but the process ID. And so in this way, we're sort of dividing up the cache between multiple processes. So both of these are valid options. The first one is obviously the simplest and is commonly implemented. And some systems implement the second, which, you know, obviously is nicer because it means you don't lose your cache stuff when you switch to one program and then back again. Okay. So this is the case where we're changing from one program to another, we're getting rid of the whole page table. So another thing which comes up is what happens when the OS just changes a page table entry. So for example, let's say I make an invalid page valid. Well, I told you that we decided that the TLBs aren't going to store invalid pages, so that's actually fine. Because it's not going to be stored in the TLB. That's a consequence of the decision that you can freely allocate memory without telling the TLB. But if we go the other way, let's say you free some memory, or let's say we're doing swapping and we decide to get rid of one of your pages and send it to disk. Then we're going to take a page table entry and make it invalid. But how does the TLB get updated? You could imagine implementing some sort of system where the hardware would check, oh, is the OS writing a page table entry that I cached? That's possible to do, but really complicated. You like need to remember where you read all the TLB entries from and have some thing which like compares it against all like several hundred of them. It's not actually something processors implement. So their choice, their most common choice, is that the OS needs to do more work. Unlike our normal caches where it's completely invisible to you, the TLB is not invisible to the OS. So when the OS makes a valid page table entry invalid or changes the physical page to which it points, it needs to tell the processor, hey, I just updated the page table. You might have an invalid TLB entry. So in XD6, there's a special instruction, a privileged instruction, INVLPG, for invalidate page, where the operating system gives a virtual page number, and the processor removes that from all the TLBs. And this is how the OS is able to change page table entries and keep the TLB consistent with it. But the OS is responsible, the hardware doesn't do it alone. And this is considered okay because the people who are writing the OS, we trust them, and we think it's okay to have them do more work to make the hardware simpler. Which is not typically a decision we've seen in other parts of our instruction set architectures, where we're not happy to make people do more work, where if you get this wrong, it's really, really tricky, right? If you get this wrong, then very rarely you evict a page and it's in your TLB sometimes, but not always, and sometimes you see accesses to it, but it's like very timing dependent because it depends whether or not you context switch away from it or not. It actually would be a very tricky bug if when an operating system doesn't do this. But this is the most common mechanism just because having the hardware detect itself that you edit a page table is too complicated. So as an example of where this comes up, let's talk about our swapping example. So when I talked about what we did in swapping, I said, like, so we have program A. So program A is trying to access some memory that's swapped out, that needs to be loaded in. And let's say we're out of space, we're going to need to evict something from another program. In my example, I said, you have some page in program B, which is currently valid, which we're going to make invalid and save to disk. Or get rid of, at least. Hopefully we have a copy on disk already so we don't need to wait to write it. So let's say program B is writing on another core. This is not extremely unlikely on a busy system. In that case, we need to make sure, just in case we chose poorly, that that page we're going to get rid of is not in the TLB. Because if it is, maybe at some point later on, program B will try to access it, and it will read the TLB entry and say, oh, that's valid, here you go, and try to access this page we want to give to program A, this physical page we want to give to program A. And so what OSs will do in this case is they'll trigger an interrupt to run a little code in that core to run that invalidate this page instruction, because they need to invalidate it on that core's TLB, because each core has its own TLBs, just like each core has its own L1 caches. Sometimes called a TLB shootdown. You're getting rid of the TLB entries on every core. And after that, you know, we can finally evict the page, now that we've made sure that it's okay that it's invalid in the page table, and that the program is definitely not going to access it because of the TLB. And we can keep going and do what we would do before. So this means that this idea that the operating system is responsible for keeping the TLB consistent actually makes things surprisingly more complicated. But it's considered a worthwhile thing because we trust our operating system writers. So, any questions about this? So, I've talked about keeping our TLBs consistent, and you know how our TLBs being nice and small means they perform very well. But with what I've shown you so far, it still seems like we access the TLB, then we access the L1 cache. It's not actually very efficient. in the sense that we're spending some extra time because we have this address translation. Maybe that's worth it, maybe it's not. But maybe we could do better. Maybe we can avoid spending this extra time at all. And modern processors, in fact, are designed such that they basically aren't paying any extra time for the TLB access. And they use this very clever, non-obvious trick. And you can see that trick here. So this is on my desktop, how addresses are split up, physical addresses are split up between a page offset and a physical page number, and how they're split up for the L1 cache. And you may notice that it happens that the L1 cache tag and the physical page number are exactly aligned. And this is not a coincidence, this is a deliberate decision by Intel. So why did Intel choose to do this? What's the benefit of it? And they did this by choosing their page size in the L1 cache.
Yeah. So you can look at the TLB and look at the L1 cache at the same time, and that way you've already started looking in the L1 cache if the TLB doesn't actually happen.
Yeah, so the idea is that the information we need to start using the L1 cache is this L1 index here. So we can look at that while we're doing our TLB lookup. So we don't need to actually finish the TLB lookup to start the cache lookup. And so the idea is that while we're collecting our set from the cache, we're doing our TLB lookup and we can hide the time of the TLB lookup. This wasn't free because we needed to design our L1 cache so this was the case. And the way we made the index small enough for that to be the case was by choosing an associativity which is perhaps a little high. So on my desktop, the L1 cache is 8-way associative. And my guess is that if they didn't want to do this sort of thing where they have the L1 index line up this way, that they would have a lower associativity to make a faster cache. But because they wanted that, they probably chose the slightly higher associativity. But what we end up with is that we take our index and we access the cache set. And we don't need anything from the virtual page number. All we need is parts from the page offset because of how we set up our cache so the index lines up with the page offset only. So while we're fetching this set from the cache, which is going to take a pretty long time because it's like kilobytes of data that physically wires have to go through, we're going to take our virtual page number, put it through the TLB, and get our physical page number, which in this case is the same as our cache tag. So the hope is by the time we're finished looking up that cache set, we'll have the tag to compare each thing we looked up to. And so the TLB lookup will essentially be free. So we'll use the result of the TLB access to compare the two tags and figure out which of the which of the blocks actually we want to look up, if any, or if none of them match. And pretty much every modern processor that I know of uses this design. So this is how they make the accesses not just fast, but really fast. They make it so they essentially hide the entire TLB access. Just because even though the TLB is really small, it wouldn't be fast enough otherwise. So this trick is sometimes called a virtually indexed, physically tagged cache. So logically, we think of the cache as taking a physical address, but it happens that if you take the index from the virtual address, it's the same as the index in the corresponding physical address. That's what the name of this trick comes from. But we actually conceptually store physical addresses, so we don't have to worry about various problems I'll mention in a second. So note that in the case I gave you, the tag and the PPN were the same thing. You can also do this as long as the tag and the physical page number don't overlap. It's okay if the tag includes some bits of the page offset too, as long as the cache index doesn't have to include some part of the physical page number. Because we don't know the physical page number when we start the access is our hope. So this is an idea where we, you know, are conceptually we're doing taking the memory address, filtering it through the TLB, then accessing the L1, and we just have this shortcut where we can send the page offset early. But conceptually, our L1 cache still works with physical addresses. It's conceptually after the TLB, we just have this little shortcut to do a part of what it's doing early. So there's an alternate design that some processors use, which is very rarely chosen today, but architects sometimes like, where you take the program's memory address and you just have the L1 cache deal with virtual addresses instead of physical addresses. And this is a valid option, which is, it's obviously a way of avoiding the cost of the TLB lookup most of the time. Usually we have an L1 cache hit. But it makes some things a lot more complicated, which is why no current processor I'm aware of chooses to do this. So one thing it makes more complicated is that instead of just invalidating the TLB when the page table changes, now you would need to invalidate the L1 cache. So you need to somehow find all the entries for that page in the L1 cache whenever you change a page table entry. You'd also have to deal with multiple PTEs, which refer to the same physical page number. This is something real OSs do. You need some way of dealing with that. That's going to make things a lot more complicated. These are both solvable problems, but the reasons that they apparently are bad enough that processors have not chosen to do this. So they've chosen for the other way, where they just do the first part of the access with the page offset only and make it fast that way, rather than just storing virtual addresses directly. Okay, so let's, thinking of this trick where we do our address lookup, you know, the first part of our cache lookup with the page offset only, can we do that in this case? So here I have a new system, can we overlap our TLB and cache lookup? Can we start our cache lookup before we finished our TLB lookup? So can someone tell me what's the thing, what should I figure out to know the answer to this? Some information I need to know. So what do I want to figure out to answer this question? What's some piece of information I should try to find out, derive from what I have here? Probably something about our L1 cache. No volunteers. So I'd like to know how our L1 cache is going to want to use a physical address. So the first thing you should figure out is how does the L1 cache divide up an address? And this should be something you vaguely remember how to do from when we cover caches. You want to divide it up into a tag, an index, and an offset. So how do we, can anyone tell me what any of those would be, or what I should do to compute any of those? The cache tag, the cache index, cache offsets. Yeah.
So you use a formula that's like C equals B times S times E, where C is 2 to the power of 8, which is 256 bytes there.
Mm-hmm.
B is 2 to the power of 3, which is 8 way.
Okay.
B is 2 to the power of 4, which is 16 byte blocks. And then you can use that to find S.
Okay, so we do C equals B. Times E, the number of ways, times S, and we can solve for S. And we end up finding that big S equals 2, there are 2 sets in the cache. So we know there are 2 sets in the cache. So what does that tell us about splitting up the address? So we have 1 index bit. So our cache, we're going to split up. We're going to have 1 set index bit. We also need to know offset bits. So how do we know how many offset bits there are? Yeah. Yeah, so log base 2 of the block size. So we have 16 byte blocks. We need 4 bits to know which of those 16 bytes we're referring to. So we have a cache offset is 4 bits. We have a cache index, which is 1 bit. And everything else is going to be our cache tag. And I haven't actually told you how big physical addresses are, so you can't know how big that is, but it's everything else. So then we need to know, well, how does this line up with our page offset? So our page offset, well, we have 64 byte pages. That's 2 to the 6 bytes. So that means our page offset in either the physical or virtual address is 6 bits. And since the page offset's the same, the question is, does the cache index and the page offset completely overlap? And the answer is yes. So because our page offset is 6 bits, and the cache index is bits 4 through 5, 4 is bit 4, that's part of the page offset. So we only need the page offset to figure out what set of the cache to access so we can overlap the 2 accesses. And for example, if we had the same cache but direct mapped, then we'd have S equals 16. If you solve that formula, you're going to say 16 byte blocks, 256 divided by 16 is 16. And we'd have a division where we'd have 4 cache index bits and 4 cache offset bits. And the page offset would overlap with the cache index, but we need part of the physical page number to compute the cache index. So we couldn't start the cache access without completing the TLB access. So questions about what I did here? So that's everything, all the topics we're going to discuss on paging. I'm going to go through looking at what, just for, so you have an idea of how close you are to the real thing, what some real page tables look like. So this is from Intel's manual, the format of last level page table entries on 64-bit x86. And there's a whole bunch of fields. So we see things, we see the important thing here. This is the physical page number. They just say it's the address of a page frame. But that's what it means, physical page number. We have some protection information. We have some stuff that's not used. And we have our usual, you know, we have our valid bit here. We have a writable bit. We have what they call US for user supervisor, which is the kernel mode bit. We have an executable bit. We have the accessed and dirty bits. So if you remember when we talked about implementing swapping, we said that to help the OS, the processor will set this access bit to say, has this page been accessed, read or written, and to help them implement, you know, write back, they'll set this dirty bit when the page has been written through this page table entry, so that's where they are in x86. We also have some other bits. So one interesting one here is this G, which stands for global. So that's a bit that the OS can set to say, this page table entry is shared between every process's page table. And the point of that is that the CPU can know not to evict TLB entries for that page table with that bit set when it changes between processes. And this allows the OS to keep its pages, which are in a fixed part of virtual memory, in the TLB all the time. We also have some weird bits. We have bits that control how caches work. So since we're accessing the TLB every time, we can actually use this, and Intel does, to change how accesses to memory regions work. So you can, for example, set a region of memory, a page of memory, to you have a write-through cache policy instead of a write-back one. You can even set it to disable the cache. So in that case, the processor will get the TLB entry and it'll say, oh, nope, I'm just going to do a direct memory access without the caches. And these are features that are handy for OSs that are interfacing with certain kinds of hardware. It happens to be part of the page table entry where the processor implements them. So any questions about anything here? So it looks, hopefully you've seen most of the things that are actually in a real full page table entry, even though Intel uses different terminology for everything than anyone else uses, and everyone else also uses different terminology than everyone else. And so when we put everything together, our book had this nice diagram of all the parts of our memory access that we access the TLB, when we have a TLB miss, we access our multi-level page table, we get our physical address, we use that conceptually to access the data cache. We've learned that, in fact, we start the access a little earlier. We still need that for the cache tag. And this is sort of what our overall memory access, and hopefully at this point should be able to understand basically everything in this picture. Any questions about any of this here? So that's what I have for today. So I'll take in my last 5 minutes, general questions. So just general logistical notes. So Tuesday is exam review. So if you want me to answer questions about things that may or may not be on the exam, you should probably come with them. The memory homework is due, as I mentioned before, 11:59 p.m. next Tuesday. Usual late policy applies, not that I recommend it. We have our final a week from today at 7 p.m. in Gilmer. You should probably be there, unless you've made arrangements with me otherwise. And there is one more post-quiz, which would be nice to not forget. So any last-minute questions, or any topics, memory homework, or otherwise? Or anything on the course. So, guys, see you next week. Everything. Probably start studying.